Paul spoke here in verse number 18. And he said, for the preaching of the cross, amen, is to them that perish foolishness. The word preaching here in the Greek actually means the word word, W-O-R-D. In other words, it's called the message. Paul is talking about the word of the cross or the message of the cross. Amen. And so, first of all, I want to deal about this preaching of the cross. And verse 18, it is a saving message. Paul said, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. I read another little historical story that illustrates, is why I was trying to put those two words together, illustrates the example of the cross. It's in a book called Written in Blood. And it's a story, and in that story, it tells of a little boy who had a sister. And his sister was needing a blood transfusion because of a disease she had. And the doctor had explained that she had to have the same disease. The doctor had explained that she had the same disease the boy had recovered from 2 years earlier. Her only chance for recovery, the doctor said, was a transfusion from someone who had previously conquered that disease. Since the two children had the same rare blood type, the boy was the ideal donor. And so the doctor came to the young boy, and he said, son, would you give your blood to marry your sister? Johnny, little Johnny, hesitated, and his lower lip started quivering and trembling, and then he smiled and said, well, sure, for my sister. And so soon the two children were wheeled in to the room, and there they were stuck, and you know, the needles were inserted and into Mary's arm and in Johnny's arm, and all of a sudden Johnny's smile began to fade as he began to watch the blood drain from his own body, go through that tube and go into his sister Mary. And finally, after a little bit of silence, the young boy Johnny looked up at the doctor and said, well, doctor, when will I die? And it wasn't until then that the doctor realized that in Johnny's mind, the reason Johnny had hesitated and was had trembling lips is because in his mind, he thought he was giving his blood to his sister. Amen. That would, it would cause him to give up his own life. Amen. But of course, it did not. I would tell you, when Jesus shed his blood upon that cross that day, it did cost him his life. You and I are saved this morning because of the blood of Jesus Christ. I want to preach to you on the preaching of the cross. Amen. And I'm going to be honest, I'm going to share something that I probably shouldn't share. But in all of my years of preaching, April will be 22 years of preaching now, and should be farther along than I am. I apologize in my preaching. But in 22 years almost of preaching, one of the hardest sermons you'll ever preach is the crucifixion. Now, I don't understand that, but I'm just telling you, and it ain't just me saying that, but it's every other preacher I know. They'll tell you that one of the hardest messages is when you turn your Bible to St. Matthew 27 and you go to the other Gospels and you preach on the crucifixion. It is one of the hardest sermons to preach. But I've had missionaries to tell me that they can go overseas where they haven't heard the preaching of the cross, amen, and they've never known about it, and it isn't so familiar with them. Amen. And preachers like Brother Rich and missionaries will say that they have sat there, amen, just tears, hundreds of people, because of their hearing of this message of the cross from the first time. But can I tell you, to every saved person, the preaching of the cross of Jesus Christ ought to be the most exciting message that we can ever hear, because we would not be saved were it not for the cross of Jesus Christ. It isn't just the cross that makes a difference, but it's the cross of Jesus. Huh? Help me, Holy Ghost. Get a hold of this, right? Amen. In this text, Paul talks about two different attitudes here. about the preaching of the cross. He first talks about to them that perish, or in other words, those that are lost. In verse 18, he speaks of preaching of the cross as foolishness to those who have never been saved. I did not know this until I began to study some of these scriptures, but the word foolishness actually gives us our English word for moron. So when the scripture, you know, God don't lie. Amen. The Bible said to this world, when they hear the preaching of the gospel and they think about a man dying on the cross, my mind just went to reading many years ago, and God help me, I don't even like to repeat such blasphemy. I remember reading years ago, and I went in my notes, but as soon as I said that, it come to my mind. Remember the statement that the famous rock and roll singer, I can't think of her name right now, Madonna. And she made a blast. Anybody remember the statement she made? She made a statement that the crucifixion was a very sensual, I won't use the word she used, picture, because it shows a naked man on it. Now that's what the Bible said. The Bible said to this world that is lost, the preaching of the cross, amen, is foolish. It's like a moron. It's absurdity. I mean, it's just stupid, if you will. Amen. But to them that are saved, amen, I mean, the cross, no wonder, amen, Brother Russell Harris' favorite song is the old rugged cross, because he knows where he was in sin, and he knows what happened when he knelt down in an old-fashioned altar, and the blood that ran down that cross, what it did to his life. So you and I, we look at the preaching of the cross different than the world looks at it. They look at it with despise and rejection. I'll tell you something. Thank God for the cross of Christ. To some, the ideal of salvation to be found only in the cross is absurd and silly. That's why the death of Christ is often mistreated and misjudged. Amen. But the other side, the other attitude, amen, is that one of affection. Notice what he says, but unto us which are saved, it is what? The power of God. Amen. To those that are saved, the message of the cross is not a silly message, Brother Joe, but it is a saving message. Amen. I want to tell you, amen, this thing's about to wind up. Amen. And there is going to be, and I don't want to jump ahead of my message, but there are two classes of people on the face of the earth. They are the saved and they are the unsaved. I want to tell you, I'm glad that I am numbered with those that think of the preaching of the cross, that it is the power of God. I mean, we talk about the power of God sometimes when somebody shouts a little bit, when somebody dances, we'll say, man, the power of God was here. Amen. But I tell you, when you really want to think about the power of the God, you look back 2,000 years ago upon a tree where the Son of God shed his blood. Amen. It is the power of God unto salvation. It's where every demon and the devil himself lost power. Jesus died on the cross. Lift your hands in loving this morning. Oh, help me here, Holy Ghost. Oh, yes. Oh, those that are saved, you the message of the cross with affection. Because in the cross we see the power of God to save. I read a story about a man by the name of Dr. Evans. He was touring, amen, Italy. And while he was over there, he met a friend. And this friend said, you have got to go while you're here in Italy. You have got to go to a certain spot and see this painting of the crucifixion. Well, and their friend was so sincere and earnest. Mr. Evans said, well, what's it about? And he said, don't worry about what it's about. You've got to go. Promise me you'll go. Mr. Evans, the Dr. Evans, said, I promise you I will go. So through his touring of Italy, he made his way to that little community, walked into that little chapel, and walked in there. And the caretaker of that little chapel looked at Mr. Evans, didn't know him from anybody. And all of a sudden, the caretaker said, "You're here to see the painting." And Dr. Evans said, "Well, yes, I am." He said, "Well, come here, let me show you something." And so he took him back to a little room, and he looked, stood there and looked at the painting. It was a painting of the crucifixion. And, you know, he was looking for some just lighted, magnificent, lighted room and just luxurious painting and just mesmerized. And he stood there and he just really couldn't even make out hardly what it even was. And he asked the caregiver, is this all it is? Is this all it is? And the caregiver looked at him and said, "Well, you got to come a little closer." And so he stepped up a little bit and he said, "I still don't see it." He said, "You got to come a little closer. You got to get a little bit lower." And he said, "I still don't get it." He moved up another step and he's still puzzled. And the caregiver said, "You got to come a little closer and a little lower." And so he still moved up. He said, "I still don't get it." And the caregiver said, "You got to move a little closer and a little lower." And then finally he was right at the foot of that picture, looking straight up on his knees. And all of a sudden he seen the magnificence of that painting. And isn't that just like us? Until you bow down before the cross, you do not recognize the magnificent love of God. One preacher friend of mine preached on the greatest masterpiece of love is the cross of Jesus Christ. I want to tell you this morning, if you're here lost without God, if you're here backslider, it will be the cross that will set you free. Oh, yes. One will never appreciate the message of the cross until they kneel by faith at the foot of the cross. One of my favorite songs and the hymnal is "At the Cross." Probably my favorite. It says, at the cross, where I first saw the light and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight. Now I am, brother Daniel just mentioned 9 years. The cross. The blood of the cross. The presence of God in our lives. At the cross, where I first saw the light. Before I knelt on that June the 29th in 1983, I cursed, I swear, I drank, I took pills, I did a lot of things that some of you have never heard me mention. I don't talk about it a whole lot. I don't see any sense in it. Don't even want my children to know the depth that I was in. I don't share a whole lot about that, but I did do a lot of those things in depth and was going deeper. I mean, a lot of friends, I mean, every weekend it was just getting worse and worse. But that night when I knelt at that altar on this side of the pulpit, amen, I seen something that I've never seen in 17 years. I seen somebody that loved me, somebody that cared for me. No, it's not foolishness to me. I don't think of it as a moron or absurdity or foolishness, but it's an affectionate thing to me when you talk about the cross, amen, of Christ. To those that are saved, cross is not an absurd message. It is a power of God unto salvation. It was there we first saw the light and the heavy burden of sin rolled away. The second thing I want you to notice, it's a simple message. Though it is profound, it is also with great simplicity. The message of the cross is the simple message that Jesus died that men might be saved. Listen to me. It was the simplicity of the message of the cross that some had trouble with. Amen. Notice with me my text, with me. Verse 19:21. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring nothing to understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. The wisdom of man, listen, the wisdom of man denies the simplicity of the message. I know we don't hear this morning, but I got to praying. I got to praying about the radio broadcast. I got to praying about who's listening to us. And I felt like the Lord dealt with me on some things. And I hope I could get a chance to play this on the broadcast. We're not running from the hanging from the chandeliers here this morning. But I'll tell you something, there was life in the Word of God. And to a lost man that's lost, to a lost man that's thinking about suicide, to the lost man that's trying to find a better drug, find another woman, find another town, find somewhere, amen, that they can finally drown out all their regrets. But I'll tell you something, there's no other place like the foot of the cross. Amen, because that blood that ran down. You know, in the wisdom of man, they don't understand that. Matter of fact, when the words was written, in verse 19, notice what it said, for it is written. Anytime you see that, listen to me right here. You that study your Bible, anytime you see it is written in the New Testament, it's a reference to the Old Testament. Every time you see for it is written, it's a reference to the Old Testament. And so what the writer here of Corinthians was referring back to is found in Isaiah 29 and 14. Notice what verse 19, for it is written, I would destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. The words for it is written indicates Paul is quoting from an Old Testament passage of Isaiah 29 and 14. We read of how the Assyrians were threatening Judah in that text in Isaiah 29. There the counselors of the Jewish king advised an alliance with Egypt. But Isaiah the prophet appealed to Judah to trust God and God alone. Isaiah's counsel was mocked by the scribes of Jerusalem. And on down in my text, he's going to deal with the scribes. Are you with me? They mocked the prophet of God with the counsel that he gave. Amen. Instead of trusting God, they devised their own programs of personal and social redemption. The simple message of the cross has often been rejected by men of wisdom. Instead, many have come up with their own way of salvation. Huh? Brother Jonathan taught in Sunday school a Sunday or two back, amen, some of the most famous people in America, Oprah Winfrey and John Osteen. Men, famous men, sad to say, even religious leaders in America are denouncing, amen, that there's only one way to God. It's through and by the precious shed blood of Jesus Christ. Paul said in verse 20, I want to deal with this just a moment. Amen. But Paul said in verse 20, when he was talking, listen to what he says. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? He talks about Greek philosophers in this text. Of course, I know we don't understand that, but in this time, they attempted to influence the makeup of the then known world. They would have been the Harvard professors, the great professors of the modern universities. Amen. They were counted as the most wise men of their day. He speaks of the scribes. Scribe here refers to those who were, amen, originally the copiers of the important documents in Judaism. And because of the familiarity with the literature they preserved, they were also its principal interpreters. But then he talks about the disputer. The word speaks of a debater. In other words, the Greek philosophers, amen, the scribes, the disputers, they were considered the wisest of wise and the leaders in thought and truth. But Paul tells them the world by wisdom knew not God. Man can take man to the moon, but man cannot go to God unless you go through Jesus Christ. Amen. Man can shoot a satellite up in space and spy on the entire world. Amen. But I'll tell you something, it isn't man's wisdom, amen, that gets you to God. It's the cross of Christ and the blood of Jesus. You, and I'll say this again. I guess I got a pet peeve. I'm sorry for you that's here and here all the time. Amen. But you add anything to the blood of Jesus for salvation, you are in false doctrine. I know we believe in standards. I'm not ashamed of that in the least. Y'all have heard me preach enough to know I'm not ashamed of that. Not ashamed in our standards. Amen. But it isn't our standards that save us. It's the blood of Jesus Christ. You boast in the blood. You boast in the blood of Jesus. It was the blood that set me free. I live like I live and dress like I dress and do like I do because of the blood of Jesus. And the Spirit of God came into my heart, excuse me, and taught me what's right. Paul says in verse 21, the world by wisdom knew not God. Man in his wisdom could not accept the simple message of the cross. And therefore they knew not God. And they considered it. He said it here in his word. This was 2,000 years ago. You can imagine if God was writing the Bible right now, what would he say about our world? That literally makes movies of Christ being a homosexual. Amen. As time goes on, you watch and mark it down, it will get worse. Anybody that stands for the King James Version Bible and believe the literal, amen, Bible and believe it literally, amen, they will be marked as extremists and haters, amen, and just will be the one that will be criticized, and the homosexual will be lifted up, all kinds of other stuff. It's the church folks. It's the preachers. Amen. It's the Christians that are just criticized and looked down to this world. But I want to tell you, I am glad I'm on the Lord's side. Call me foolish. Call me a moron. Call me absurd. Call me whatever you want to call me. But when he calls me, I'm going to be gone. Praise God. I believe the Bible. I got to hurry, man. I'm going too slow. Amen. I want to quickly mention a couple things before I close. By the foolishness of preaching, the wisdom of man is denounced, and the wisdom of God is displayed. He does not say foolish preaching. He's referring to that's what they call it. So don't get misunderstood there. God has his method of transformation and salvation that can completely alter and change a person's life. What man's wisdom does not see is that it is not government, but God that makes a difference. I don't care who the president, if it's a Republican or Democrat. That is, if the answer is God. The answer is Christ. Amen. God can take a bottle out of a man's hand and put a Bible in it. Huh? He can take a mouth of profanity and fill it with the praises of Jehovah. He can take the nobody and make them somebody. He can take the vile and make them victorious. He can take the unholy and make them holy. I don't have it in my notes, but I was reading. I thought I was going to get too lengthy, so I skipped. I put it out. Amen. But I was reading another little story that talked about a group of men that made some soap years ago. And they was commercializing this soap. And so they went and found, and I reckon this was really happened. They went and found a town drunk and a homeless man. And they brought him in, and they washed him up, and they gave him this soap. And they put some new clothes and washed it with this soap. And amen. And then they advertised and see what we can do before and an after. Amen. But they didn't reckon, they didn't know that a week later, the paper, the same paper, would come out, went on the front page, but on in there they said, amen, that the man that used this scope, it had pictures of him, he's dog drunk, filthy, vile, down back in the gutter. Well, their soap didn't do it. Amen, but I can tell you something, I know something that can take a man out of the gutter, amen, take him out of that alley, take him out of that field. Brother James, and just show me some pictures from church, for church. I know a man that could take somebody out of that. Those pictures, Brother James.